الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author is Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى He mentioned in his work كشف الشبهات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اعلم رحمك الله أن التوحيد هو إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى بالعبادة وهو دين الرسل الذي أرسلهم الله به إلى عباده The author, he began with the basmala rahmatullahi alayhi in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And then he said that you must learn and know and have certainty, may Allah have mercy on you, that at tawheed, it is to single out Allah alone for all actions of worship, and it is the deen of all of the messengers which Allah has sent the messengers with to his slaves. The author, he says, فَأَوَّلُهُمْ نُوحٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ لَمَّا غَلَوْا فِي الصَّالِحِينَ وَدٍ وَسُوَاعٍ وَيَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَصْرٍ And the first of them, meaning the first of the messengers, it was Nuh عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ Allah sent him to his people whenever they went to extremes and transgressed the limits with regards to the righteous. And Suwa' and Ya'uth and Ya'uq and Nasr. And then he mentioned Rahimahullahu ta'ala wa akhir rusul Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallama wa huwa alladhi kassara suwara ha'ula'i salihin. Arsalahu Allahu ila unasin yata'abbaduna wa yahujjuna wa yatasaddaquna wa yadhkuruna Allah kathira walakinnahum yaj'aluna ba'd al-makhluqin wasa'ita bainahum wa bain Allah azza wa jalla. يقولون نريد منهم التخرب إلى الله تعالى ونريد شفاعتهم عنده مثل الملائكة وعيسى ومريم وأناس غيرهم من الصالحين And then he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى And the last of the messengers is محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم And he is the one who destroyed the images of those righteous men And he is the one who destroyed the images of those righteous men, referring to the images of those righteous men, those statues of the righteous of the people of Nuh alayhi salam. He's the one who destroyed them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah sent him. Allah sent him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to people who were devoted to worship, and they were making the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, and they were giving charity, and they remembered Allah often, but they used to make some of the creation, mediators between them and in between Allah. And they will say that we want them to bring us near to Allah, that we want these mediators to bring us near to Allah, and we want them to intercede on our behalf. Like the angels, and like Isa alayhi salam, and like Maryam, and others similar from mankind, from the righteous. Then he mentioned, rahimahullah, فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مُحَمَّدًا صلى الله عليه وسلم يجدد لهم دينهم دين أبيهم إبراهيم ويخبرهم أن هذا التخرب والاعتقاد محض حق الله تعالى لا يصلح منه شيء لغيره لا لملك مقرب ولا نبي مرسل فضلا عن غيرهما And then he mentioned رحمه الله So Allah, he sent Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to revive for them, and for mankind, their religion, to revive for them their religion of their forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam, and to inform them that seeking nearness and that belief and creed that they have with those righteous people is purely the right of Allah alone, the Most High. None of that is proper for anyone other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the nearest angel and nor for a prophet who was sent with the message. Much less on those who are lower than them or under them. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَإِلَّا فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْخَالِقُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْخَالِقُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأنه لا يرزق إلا هو ولا يحيي ولا يميت إلا هو ولا يدبر الأمر إلا هو وأن جميع السماوات السبع ومن فيهن والأراضين السبع ومن فيهن كلهم عبيده وتحت تصرفه وقهره. He said, in any case, these pagans and polytheists, those whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam find them, they believe and testify. They believe and testify that Allah is the Creator alone and with no partners. And they likewise believe and testify that no one grants provision except for Him, and that no one gives life and death except for Him, and no one disposes of the affairs of this universe except for Him, and that all of the seven heavens and that which they contain, and all of the seven earths and that which is found therein, all of them are His slaves and under His command and authority and power. And then he mentioned, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ الدَّلِيلَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَشْهَدُونَ بِهَذَا فَقْرَعْ عَلَيْهِ قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ وَمَا يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ الْآيَةَ وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى كُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِلَى قَوْلِهِ فَأَنَّى تُسْحَرُونَ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And then he mentioned, Rahimahullah, and if you want the evidence that those pagans and polytheists, those whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed them, that they testify and bear witness to this, then read the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth, and who has the authority and command and possession over the hearing and the seeing, and who brings the living from the dead and brings the dead from the living, and who is disposing of the affairs, then indeed they will say to you, Allah. Then indeed they will say to you, Allah. Until the end of the verse, in the statement of Allah the Most High, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom does the earth and everything therein belong to? Until the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, then how are you deceived and turned away? Then how are you deceived and turned away? And other than that, from the great ayat from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that indicate this affair. So this is the introduction that the author had mentioned in his beneficial treatise about removing and revealing and uncovering the false doubts and misunderstandings that the pagans they have been tried with regards to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be worshipped alone. In our previous class, we have discussed the issue with regards to the statement of Allah, with regards to the statement of the author, يَعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ التَّوْحِيدَ هُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ وَهُوَ دِينُ الرُّسُولِ الَّذِي أَرْسَلُهُمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. That the author, he mentioned that التوحيد التوحيد, it means to single out Allah alone for all actions of worship, to make all of the actions of worship for Allah alone with no partners. And that this is in reality the religion and the deen of all of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And this is what Allah has sent them with to His slaves to clarify. We have seen some benefits with regards to this portion of the work. And after this, the author, he says, to emphasize the issue that all of these messengers that came with the same religion and the same deen and the same call from the beginning to the end of them, فَأَوَّلُهُمْ نُوحٌ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ لَمَّا غَلَوْا فِي الصَّالِحِينَ وَدًّا وَسُوعَانَ وَيَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرَ. That the first of them, the first of those messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent to the people of the earth to call them to worship Allah alone and to leave off associating partners in worship with Allah Azza wa Jal, the first of them is Nuh alayhi salam. He says, Allah, He sent him to His people whenever they went to extremes and transgressed the boundaries. Whenever they went to extremes and transgressed the boundaries, they went beyond the limits with regards to the righteous. Meaning they transgressed the boundaries, raising those righteous men to the status and to the rank of Allah Azza wa Jal, and worshipping them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that they have some right and some status and rank, and therefore they raise them beyond the level that they deserve, and they begin to worship them and call on them and devote themselves to them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking them as mediators. And he mentioned here, and they were Wad and Suwa and Yaguth and Ya'uq wa Nasr. So with regards to this issue here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book that indeed we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as we have revealed to Nuh alayhi salam and the prophets after him. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, that this is an indication here that Nuh, he was the first prophet. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that indeed we have revealed to you any revelation, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kama awhayna ila Nuhin wa nabiyina min ba'dihi. Just as we have revealed to Nuh alayhi salam and the prophets after him. And likewise, it has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned some events that will occur on the day of resurrection, whenever mankind, the believers from them specifically, are going to the prophets and messengers seeking to find one to intercede on the behalf of the creation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the judgment. And they will go to each prophet one after the other, and each one of them will remember a sin or a mistake or that they had, and they would be shy, and they would send them to the next. They begin by going to Adam alayhi salam and asking him and mentioning his great qualities and traits, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him with his hands, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered his angels to submit before him out of respect, and the likes. And then Adam alayhi salam, he will remember his sin, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he will fayastahi, and he will be shy, and then he will say إِتُوا نُوحًا أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. Go to Nuh, the first messenger that Allah has sent to the people of the earth. Go to Nuh, إِتُوا نُوحًا أَوَّلُ رَسُولٍ أَرْسَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. Go to Nuh alayhi salam, he's the first messenger that Allah he has sent to the people of the earth. That Allah he has sent to the people of the earth. So this issue here has been established in the Quran and in the Sunnah. This is something that is well known, that Nuh alayhi salam, he's the first messenger. He's the first messenger to receive revelation and to call the people. And to call the people to the worship of Allah alone whenever they deviated. It's been narrated by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah that he says, كَانَ بَيْنَ آدَمْ وَنُوحٍ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامُ عَشْرَةُ قُرُونَ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. كلهم على الإسلام. That there were 10 generations between Adam and Nuh. That there were 10 generations between Adam and Nuh alayhim as-salam. And all of them were upon al-Islam. All of them were upon al-Islam. Meaning that the Tawheed was well known and established in the children of Adam alayhi salam. And Shirk is something that occurred later, after many generations had passed by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created Adam upon the fitrah, and he was upon Tawheed alayhi salatu wa salam, and likewise his progeny after him for 10 generations, until the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had befallen and the people were tried. The plot of shaitan had come in this manner. So between Adam and Nuh, there are 10 generations. All of them were upon Tawheed. All of them were upon at-tawheed. And then in the time of Nuh, or just before him, alayhi salatu wa salam, these individuals here that the author is referring to, they were righteous men. They were righteous men from the people of Nuh, and they all died around the same time. And then after their death, the devil, he came to the people, and he deceived them, and he tricked them into making images and statues of those individuals in order to remember them and to set them up in the gatherings that they used to have, because those righteous men used to remind them of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he suggested to them this evil suggestion that they should make images, they should make statues of these individuals and set them up in their gathering, so that whenever they see them, they will remember Allah, just as they used to remember Allah, as deception and as trickery. And this is something that occurred. And then after some time had passed, and generations had gone by, and the knowledge had weakened, and ignorance became widespread, eventually the progeny of those people began to worship them besides Allah Azza wa Jal. The devil, he came to their offspring later, and he said to them that your forefathers, they only set these idols up here because they used to seek rain from them. They used to seek rain from them and call on them and seek nearness to them, and the rain would come. So this issue here likewise has been clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal in more than one place in the Quran. And from that is that which is in the chapter which is entitled Nuh, which is entitled the chapter Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah, he referred to what these people, they said. Allah, he mentions, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا. They said whenever Nuh, he called them away from them, he called them to worship Allah alone, they said, do not ever leave your gods, do not ever leave Wad and Suwa' and Yaguth and Ya'uq and Nasr. Again, these are names of individuals, these are names of people, of righteous men, and later after their death they became names of idols that were worshipped besides Allah. So it has been collected by Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhumah. He mentioned about this verse here, صارت الأوثان التي كانت في قوم نوح في العربي بعد, that those idols that were worshipped by the people of Nuh alayhi salam, they wound up with the Arab after some time, great period of time, these same idols, there are five of them. There, one of them is named Wad, and the other one is Suwa', and the other is Ya'uth and Ya'uq and Nasr. Wad wa Suwa' wa Ya'uth wa Ya'uq wa Nasr. These five idols that were from the idols of the people of Nuh alayhi salam, they wound up eventually with the Arab. Meaning the Arab, they had found these same idols and began to worship them. They had found these same idols and began to worship them. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, he says, أما ود كانت لكلب بدومة الجندل وأما السواع كانت لهذيل وأما يغوث فكانت لمراد ثم لبني قطيف بالجوف عند السبأ وأما يعوق فكانت لهمدان وأما نصر فكانت لحمير لآل ذي الكلاع لآل ذي الكلاع أسماء رجال صالحين من قوم نوح فلما هلكوا أوحى الشيطان إلى قومهم أن انسبوا إلى مجالسهم التي كانوا يجلسون أنصابا وسموها بأسمائهم ففعلوا فلم تعبد حتى هلك أولئك وتنسخ العلم عبدات. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions that these idols here, they wound up later, the idols here of the people of Nuh, they eventually wound up with the Arab. They eventually wound up with the Arab. And Wad was an idol that was with the tribe of Kelb in a place called Dumat al-Jandal. And Su'a' was with the tribe of Huthayl. And as for Ya'uth, then it was with the tribe of Murad. And then it went after that to Bani Qutayf, Biljawf, at Saba', and in Yemen. And then Ya'uq, it was for Hamdan, the tribe of Hamdan. And as for Nasr, then it was with Himyar, from the family of Dhil Kala'. Himyar likewise is from Yemen. They were names of righteous men from the people of Nuh. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says, أَسْمَاءُ رِجَالٍ صَالِحِينَ مِنْ قَوْمِ نُوحِ, that these five idols here, these were the names of righteous men from the people of Nuh. And whenever they died, Shaytan, he inspired his people to set up to set up statues in their gatherings that they used to sit, and to call them by their names, and therefore they did that, and they were not worshipped until that generation died, and then the knowledge was lost, and then eventually they were worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the origin of ash-shirk in Bani Adam. This is the first time polytheism and paganism was introduced, and this is the manner that it was introduced, and this is the type of shirk that was the first type that the people fell into, and this is what shaitan he called to in the first place, in his first call, calling the people to believe in the righteous and in the dead, that they have the ability to help and to aid and to benefit and to intercede. So the people of Nar, as they mentioned, a great benefit derived from this narration, which again is in Sahih Bukhari, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhumah, that these people here, they gathered between two great trials. These people here, the people of Nuh, and the call of shaitan in this first call of deviation, to mislead the people and to corrupt the fitrah, the natural disposition, and to turn the people away from the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, he had two great traps. And whenever they're combined, it becomes very dangerous, especially for the ignorant and the people who are not firmly grounded in the knowledge of the tawheed and knowing the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is that they gather between images. They gather between the issue of images and graves. Images and graves. And this is what happened here, that these people, they set up these images in their graves, and the likes like this, the places that they used to sit, these were where their graves were. So it was set statues up at the grave site. So now they will be tried by the statues and the graves combined. By the statues and the images and the graves combined, and this becomes a great fitna. This becomes a great fitna for the people. And this is likewise that which the previous nations they had fallen into. The previous nations from the Jews and the Christians likewise, they had fallen into the trial of believing in the graves and being tried by the statues and the images along with that. And it has been connected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. And this occurred just at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أن أم حبيبة وأم سلمة رضي الله عنهما ذكرتا كنيسة رأيناها بالحبشة فيها تصاوير فذكرتا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that Aisha رضي الله عنها she mentions that أم حبيبة and أم سلمة رضي الله عنهما they mentioned a church that they saw in Habasha and whenever they made the first hijrah to Habasha both of them were from those noble companions that made the hijrah to Habasha. Whenever they were in Habasha, they saw a church. It's been mentioned that the name of that church is Madia, and it was a great church in size, and it had been decorated and beautified in a great manner. And they mentioned this church to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it had all these images in it, statues and pictures and the likes like this in this church. And then whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard this, he said, إِنَّ أُولَٰئِكِ إِذَا كَانَ فِيهِمَ الرَّجُلُ الصَّالِحُ فَمَاتَ بَنَوْا عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ مَسْجِدًا وَصَوَّرُوا فِيهِ تِلْكَ السُّورِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said about these individuals that they are people that whenever a righteous man dies from amongst them, they will build on top of his grave a place of worship. They will build on top of his grave a place of worship, and then they will set up statues and images there likewise. And these people here, they are the worst of the creation. These فَأُولَٰئِكِ شِرَارُ الْخَلْقِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ These people here, they are the worst of the creation with Allah on the day of resurrection. We see here likewise, these people as well, they gather between the fitna of two affairs, the fitna of the images and the idols and the fitna of their graves. Whenever they're combined, this becomes a great fitna and trial for the people who have no sound understanding of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are two of the greatest means that will lead a person to believe that the man in the grave has ability to help them and to aid them. either directly or indirectly, either directly or by way of intercession. Most of the time it's by intercession. And even many times after that, they wind up in the end likewise believing that he has authority and command in the universe, and that he sends the rain, or that he can help, or he can aid, or he can benefit, or he can grant a baby, and the likes like this. They will believe in the one in the grave, and this is from the means of that. This is from the means of that. But here, if we look in this narration, likewise we see that there are many benefits to understand. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about these people, and it's known in Habasha they were Christians. They are Christians, and this is in a church, and this church is a place of worship, and for them. And then inside this place of worship, likewise, it's all decorated, and it has images and idols, images and statues. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about them that these are a people that whenever a righteous man dies amongst them, and he's someone they believe to be righteous, someone who was pious in their eyes according to the laws of their religion or according to the precepts of their deen, they would build a place of worship on top of his grave. They'll build a place of worship on top of his grave, and then they will set up these statues and these images there. It's not mentioned in this narration that they will worship that man, but rather they would set up a place of worship to remember Allah. They would take his grave as a place of worship to remember Allah, as if it's a place that's full of blessing because of the righteousness or the piety of that man. So if this is the case, that these here, they're the worst, the most evil of mankind with Allah on the day of resurrection, then how about those who actually worship the one in the grave? How about the one who actually worshiped the one in the grave? So there's no mention of worshiping the one in the grave here. And these people that have reached this lowly level of being the most evil and the worst of mankind with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, just by taking the means that lead to shirk. And from that is to combine between the graves and the images. So they would set up places of worship on the grave. And then along with that, they would set up the images and the statues and the likes like this. And this is from the means that lead to shirk. So therefore, these are the worst of all mankind with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is has come likewise in some wordings of this narration by Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says, قَالَ فِي الْمَرَضِ أَلَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said this in his sickness that he died in. And he said this in the sickness that he died in, meaning that this is from the last things that he warned from and clarified sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also at the same time, he's warning as well sallallahu alayhi wasallam from taking his grave as a place of worship, from taking his grave sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a place of worship. Likewise as well, the Arab, they had many other gods. It's mentioned that these five here, they wound up with the Arab. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that there was a man, his name is Amr ibn Luhay. He was the first one to bring the idols to the Arab, and he was the first one to introduce shirk to the Arab. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him being punished in the hellfire, waliyadu billah. So this man, he had brought the idols to the Arab and encouraged them and called them to worship them and call on them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how this is how shirk was introduced to the Arab specifically, and it was by these same idols. He had come across these exact same idols, and he brought them later on, many generations later, he brought them later on to the Arab and introduced them to the Arab. And then it was not for many generations later until these same idols, they were destroyed. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam conquered Mecca, these idols, they still remained. Along with many others. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Mecca, there were 360 idols in and around the Kaaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he destroyed all of them. And he would recite the verse, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. So the author here, he mentions another great benefit. He says, وَآخِرُ الرُّسُلُ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَسَّرَ سُورَ هَؤُلَاءِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And the last of the messengers is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the one who destroyed. He is the one who destroyed the statues of those righteous. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim rahimahullah, in his explanation, he mentioned a great benefit with regards to this. And that is to ponder and to look that these idols, they were not destroyed till generations. These idols were introduced in the time of the first messenger, alayhi salam. Wad wa Su'a' wa Yaguth wa Ya'uq wa Nasr. These were the first idols that were introduced, and they and these images and these idols continue to be worshipped. Once the shirk was introduced and the hearts were attached to this affair, as has been mentioned before, that is, the shirk is like a web. People get tangled in it, entrapped in it, and lost in it. Waliyadu billah, this shirk remained through the generations all the way until the coming of the final and the last prophet. It was not the second, the third, the fourth, rather it was the last messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, who finally destroyed these images. To indicate the great danger of a shirk. The great danger of a shirk, that if it takes hold in the heart of a person, many times it's difficult for him to be released from that. It's difficult for him to find a way out. And they had many other gods likewise. And Allah, he referred to them, the Arab. The Arab, they had many other idols and gods and deities that they worship likewise. And all of them are very similar. And this is very important to understand how the first shirk entered, and then likewise the type of shirk that the people were upon in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The religion of the mushrikeen of the tribe of Quraysh and the Arab in those lands that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent to specifically. Allah, he mentioned in his book, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. Have you not seen اللات والعزة والمنات, the third of them? And he meaning, have you not seen how despicable they are? How these are things that have no benefit whatsoever, that they're worshipping besides, and that they're worshipping them besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, that these things are not worthy. Have you not seen them, how they worship them and devote themselves to them? It's been mentioned from Mujahid about this one specifically. Allat, he says, كَانَ يَلُوتُوا لَهُمُ السَّوِيكَ فَمَاتَ فَعَقَفُوا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says likewise, كَانَ يَلُوتُ السَّوِيكَ لِلْحَاجِ. That this god, this idol that the Arab, they used to worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they called him Lat. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas and likewise from Mujahid that this was a righteous man. Lat, he was a righteous man in their eyes. And he used to prepare the food and give it in charity, especially for the pilgrims. Whenever the pilgrims would come, he would take a type of mixture of food and mix it up together, and then he would give it to the pilgrims as a charity. And whenever he died, they began to set up stones and idols around his grave, and eventually they worship him besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Eventually they worship him besides Allah Azza wa Jal. So these idols here that are mentioned from the people of Nuh, and likewise Lat, and the likes like this, these are idols and images, statues. These are in the origin righteous men, or what their people deem them to be, righteous men. They believe that they are righteous men. And whenever they died, they had taken them and their graves as places of worship, and eventually worshiping them besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they would put on their graves images like statues and the likes like this, and this is the means that led them to worship them besides Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the means that led them to worship them besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, it has been connected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, أَلَا وَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَتَّخِذُونَ قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ أَلَا فَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْقُبُورَ مَسَاجِدٍ فَإِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed those people, those generations before you, they used to take the graves of their prophets as places of worship. He said, indeed, do not take the graves as places of worship. So do not take the graves as places of worship. Indeed, I prohibit you from that. This is likewise something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned days before he died. He mentioned days before he died. Indeed, those people before you, the previous nations, they took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. So therefore, do not take the graves as places of worship. Indeed, I prohibit you from that. Do not take the graves as places of worship. Any places of worshiping Allah. Do not take the graves as places for worshiping Allah. Because this will lead eventually for the people to worship the one in the grave. And this is what happened to those previous nations. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade that. He forbade even taking the grave as a place of worship. So one, he should not believe that the graveyard is a place of worship. That's a place for supplication, a place for dua. That a person, he should go to the graveyard and call on Allah because this is better for him or more hopeful that his prayer will be answered. That this is falsehood. Even it's not allowed to pray in the graveyard whatsoever. If a person he prayed in the graveyard, a salat, any other than janazah, then the prayer would be considered batila and it would not be accepted. It would not be accepted. It's not allowed to pray in the graveyards. It's not allowed to pray salat in the graveyards. If a person he goes to the graveyard, he will pray for those in the graveyard. He will supplicate for them and the likes like this, but it's not a place for worship. It's not a place to go there to worship. This is something that's not allowed because of what it leads to. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned before he died. Do not take the graves as places of worship. Indeed, I prohibit you from that. Likewise, in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him out to the land on a great mission. He said, and he told him, لا تدع تمثالا إلا طمسته ولا قبرا مشرفا إلا سويته. Do not leave any statue except that you destroy it. Do not leave any statue or image except that you destroy it. And do not leave any grave that is raised except that you level it. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning from these two affairs here. These two affairs here specifically, the idols, the images, the statues, and the graves. Do not leave any statue except you destroy it. And do not leave any grave that is raised except that you level it. Also, it has been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum that both of them, they said, لما نزل برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طافقا يطرح قميصة خميصة له على وجهه فإذا تم كشفها وقال فقال وهو كذلك نعنة الله على اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. That Ibn Abbas and Aisha radiallahu anhum, both of them, they mentioned that whenever death is befalling, yani whenever they see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very close to his death, yani death is has coming to him at this moment now, that he was going through great pains sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would have a rag on his face, and he would he would have a garment or a rag on his face sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then whenever he would be relieved, he would remove it. And then he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. They had taken the graves of their prophets as masajid. So he is warning in this manner from this affair. From the beginning into the end of his call. And likewise, this is the call of shaitan from the beginning of mankind to mislead the people to associating partners with Allah and worship by believing in the people in the grave, that they have the ability to benefit or to harm, or that they can benefit a person and draw them near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they were upon. So this is the case here from the very beginning with regards to what? Wasu'a, wa yaguth, wa yu'uq, wa nasr. They did not believe that they were gods themselves. They believed that they are righteous men. And they believed that they had high status and rank with Allah. And they believed that they were beloved to Allah. They believed that these righteous men, they were near to Allah. So therefore, they would call on them and seek nearness and intercession through them to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this was the shirk of the people of Nuh. This is the shirk of the people of Nuh. And likewise, until the end of the times and the time of the last prophet, and messenger. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is their shirk likewise, that they believed in these righteous men. They believed that there were righteous men in the graves, and likewise others as well, but this was one of the most common, is that they would believe that these men in the graves were righteous and they would call on them besides Allah Azza wa Jal, not believing that they were the creator or the provider or the sustainer, but rather believing that they have rank and status with Allah Azza wa Jal, and they would take them as mediators and intercessors. They would take them as mediators and intercessors. And this is what Allah is referring to. أَفَرَأَيْتَمُ اللَّاتِ أَفَرَأَيْتَمُ اللَّاتِ. Lat was a man. He used to give charity to the pilgrims. Whenever they would come to visit the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, he would prepare food for them and give it to them for free. And they believed him that he was a righteous man because of the likes of his charity. And therefore, whenever he died, on top of his grave where he used to smash and make, where he used to mix the food together, they set up idols there. They set up a statue there in remembrance of him, and they wind up calling on him besides Allah, believing that he could intercede on their behalf and draw them near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see now the case of the shirk, how it occurred. The first of them, Nuh, and the last of them, prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first of the prophets and messengers, Nuh, and the last of them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all have the same call, and they're all warning their people from the same shirk, and how that shirk occurred. And then likewise the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his whole life after prophethood, and the fact that he had warned from every avenue that leads to shirk, that these are the worst of people with mankind. They are the ones who simply take the graves of their prophets as masajid, as places of worship. The worst of the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians, because they take the graves of their prophets as places of worship. As places of worship. So how about if they worship them besides Allah? Even more severe, even more dangerous. So now if we look around today in the Ummah of Muhammad, we see how many graves are worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. How many graves are raised, whether there's buildings built on top of them, whether some of them have buildings that are very large and decorated in a great manner. And many times whenever the ignorant especially, they go there and they see this great building and how beautiful it is and how colorful it is and the likes like this, and how it's cared for in such a great manner. Now they start to become deceived and tricked. Oh, the man inside that grave, he must be righteous. He must have great status with Allah. And therefore they begin to call on that grave besides Allah, even seeking blessing from the walls of that building. Even many times they'll start making tawaf and going around in circles around that building, around that grave besides the Kaaba, and seeking nearness to the one in the grave besides Allah. Worshipping others besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and competing with the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's just the most clear opposition and contradiction to the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They set up graves and they worship the graves. They called on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They build on top of the graves. They put lights on top of the graves. Everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned from and said do not do, because it would lead them to calling on the one in the grave. They do that and they call on the one in the grave. And then this one is called the Naqshbandiyya, and this one is called the Qadariyya, and this one is called this, and this is called that. And they have all these different turuq and all these different ways. And this is all falsehood, and this is all means to be completely lost, to be a complete failure and a complete loser. And this is the exact same shirk of the people of Nuh that the first messenger he won from, and this is the exact same shirk of the people of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the last messenger won from. The only difference today is that those people that they call on those in their graves besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, they say La ilaha illallah, but they don't know what it means, because they say it and they contradict it exactly. And they say Muhammad Rasulullah, but they don't know what it means, because they say it and they contradict it exactly. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, do not take the graves as places of worship. I prohibit you from that. So what do? They take the graves as places of worship. Where are they at with Muhammad Rasulullah? Where are they at with Muhammad Rasulullah? They take the graves as places of worship. Rather, they worship the one in the grave, and they call on him, and they hope him, and they slaughter for him, and they give money and charity for him, hoping that he will respond to them and help them. So now where are they at with La ilaha illallah? They have violated
the Shahadatain in entirety, and they're in the greatest opposition. All at the same time, they claim that they're Muslims, and they make Hajj, and they give charity, and the likes like this, and they pray. Just like the people of Quraysh, they used to also give charity, and they also used to pray. Just like Lat, he used to make Hajj, and he used to give charity, but that did not benefit them whatsoever. That did not benefit them whatsoever whenever they associate partners and worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very important and great benefit that he's mentioning here. And he, as we mentioned before, these are principles to understand. That this is the first shirk. The first shirk, how was it introduced? It was introduced by believing in the dead. Believing that the righteous men have a high status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jal, and that one could draw near to them, to draw near to Allah. And they would take the one in the grave as an intercessor with Allah. And the means that led them to this was the combination between graves and between images. Whenever the graves and the call to the grave along with images were set in place, this is whenever the people were misled. And there's likewise in the narration of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma a great indication to an indication to another great key and means that shaitan he used to lead them to this. فَلَمَّا تَنَسَّخَ الْعِلْمُ whenever the knowledge was lost. Whenever the knowledge was lost, at this time after generation and generation, whenever the knowledge of al-Tawheed began to weaken, and the death of these righteous people, and these they were people of knowledge, the people of knowledge, they're dying off, and the Tawheed is weakening. At this time, Shaytan he starts to play with the hearts, he starts to mislead mankind, and he's able to sow his evil because of a weakness in knowledge. And a weakness in knowledge leads to a weakness in faith. So the one who wants to be saved from these traps and from these tricks and these snares, one, he must have knowledge. Knowledge of it, Tawheed first and foremost. And knowledge of the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also knowledge of shirk. And knowledge of the ways that's contrary to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to avoid these affairs. In order to avoid these affairs. So this is a great point that he's mentioning here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, about how shirk was introduced and how it occurred and what form was that. It was in the form of taking the dead as intercessors and to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani through them and by way of them. And to believe that, for example, someone is weak or someone has sins, and this person in the grave, he was righteous, so therefore they're called on him to bring him close. This is the call of shaitan from the very beginning. And this is the call of the Sufiya today, and the call of the Shia and the Rafidah today. And now we see who is truly the enemies of al-Islam. The enemies of al-Islam, they're the ones who oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his orders blatantly. They're the ones who oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his orders and his commandments blatantly, especially with regards to the foundations and the fundamentals of the Shahadatain, and the greatest people who ascribe to Islam today, who oppose the Shahadatain in the greatest manner, they are the Sufiya and the Rafidah. And if you look at them, you will find that they are best friends. And they have so much in common. In their belief, and their creed, and their methodology, they have so much in common. And you find them likewise helping each other in the best manner. And also you will find that the French love them as well. The French, they love them as well. And if you didn't know, the French are from the greatest enemies of al-Islam. The French are from the greatest enemies of al-Islam. They have made the greatest efforts to mislead the Muslims and to tear down the Khilafah and to do away with al-Islam. This is from their main goals, though them and those along with them, but from the head of them are the French. And you will find that the Sufiya and the Rafidah, they have great friendship with them. Na'udhu billahi min al-khizlan. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.